from your home of sports, weather, and a guy in sweatpants live from Studio A. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
How we do?
Sun's out. That's all I can ask for.
Yeah, well, I mean, I could ask for a couple more things. But yeah, not beautiful.
It's not snowing.
Man, I feel like every time we talk about how nice it snows the next day. So
yeah,
it's not.
Like, yeah. I mean, it's what the fifth. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah. We got our April Fool's joke in there with the weather.
Yeah,
we got spring. We got it all in a week. We got some sports going on.
I think it's supposed to be like 60 next week now, thank you.
Yeah, we're back. We're back to spring and summery things and, you know, a gardening show. In the next couple weeks, we'll talk about gardening. We'll start to delve into the... Yeah, we're getting there. We're really getting there. In the meantime...
Sports. What do you got?
Well, I mean, we're going to start with this because you told me you watched this. The Women's Final Four is taking place this weekend.
Today.
Yeah, that's right. It's Friday.
Yep.
There's two matchups in the Women's Final Four. You watched the Elite Eight, LSU and Iowa, right?
Yes,
I did. You said 12.5 million people watched that?
It was a record-setting 12.5 million views. And it was like the first time it's ever even come close. I mean...
Yeah. I would assume the second most was last year's Iowa-LSU
I don't know.
I feel like we talked about those ratings last year, too, as being incredibly high.
But this was just like... I mean, when you're talking about a player in Caitlin Clark that has just transcended. I mean, she broke all the scoring records on the NCAA on men's and women's side, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, she's in that game was, she pulled it all out. I mean,
yeah,
she
on the basketball side of things.
I mean, she was, it was 40 points. I think she
scored 41. Yeah.
Yeah. And 15 assists.
Against the best, most physical team that was ready to play against her that she had seen in years. A team that was built literally to stop her. They brought in transfers to stop a team set up to did nothing. But it was a great game. Yeah. LSU had Angel Reese, who was last year's media Final Four
and they won
the championship last year. She played really, had like 22 and 17, like had a big old game. That was fantastic. So leading into that is the Women's Final Four. You got South Carolina, who is undefeated, 36-0, which is funny. They're 36-0, and we haven't talked about them at all. Talking about Women's Final Four, Women's Tournament, we mentioned them briefly. They're going against NC State, which is the third seed. South Carolina's got on their team. They're coached by Dawn Staley. For anybody who knows the name, she was a multiple-time Olympian back when women's basketball was just dominant. Back, 90s, 2000.
Yep.
She's been the coach at South Carolina. She's won championships everywhere. They won championship 2 years ago. Lost to, I think it was LSU in the Sweet 16 or Final Four last year. Maybe it was Iowa. They are, get this, they're 110-3 in the last, or 117-3 in the last 100. It's an amazing stretch for that team. Camila Cardoza is their best player. She's 6'7". Dominant team. So I'd assume they're going to win and go against.
I think everybody is saying this. They're the team to beat, the way it sounds.
As well they should be. Yeah, they are.
But then Iowa's meeting UConn tonight. And because the UConn game was on after Iowa, so I just kind of watched that. And I don't even know I don't even know the star's name on UConn.
Caitlin Becker
is
player of the year a few years ago.
Right.
She's been hurt for about 3 years, and now she's back, played an entire healthy season for the first time.
And she's just as dynamic.
Yes.
I mean, she was knocking down threes just as Caitlin was making plays and, all that stuff. So it's
going
to be a good
–
I think it's going to be a great game tonight to watch because it's just the level of competition and the talent.
And UConn's coach, Gino Auriemma, has won multiple championships.
Right.
Their program was down and now they're back. Yeah, that UConn-Iowa game.
Because that UConn has been in, everything in the last 20 years.
20 years, UConn women's basketball, you could argue, is the most dominant program of a generation of any sports. Yes, they've been amazing.
Yep.
So by the time we meet next week, there will be a champion crowned in both men's and women's. But I assume Iowa-South Carolina is going to be the game. That's a game I want to see. That's a game I'm going to watch. If there's a game to watch, it'll be that.
And I don't think it'll be one of those games where I don't think the stars will be the difference. It'll be the backup.
Yes.
They all have to, you know, everybody's going to have to step up.
In a game like that, it is the third or fourth option right. that goes for 15 points because right. the game plan is not thought of. They're not thought of. Yeah, you know, 100%. And it's fun. And women, that game has reached a time where I'm watching it for basketball. It's great basketball. There's right. great passing. There's incredible shooting. Yep. They're running offense. They're playing defense, boxing out on rebounds. It's good basketball.
Right.
Much like the men's college basketball, as I've said, is the best sports event. It takes a month. We're getting to a spot where we have Purdue versus NC State,
okay.
which is Purdue has been the best. They lost last year to open the tournament. This has been their revenge year.
Sure.
7'4" Canadian Zach Edey is going to be the back-to-back player of the year. He's, you know, dominant and huge.
Okay.
Going against NC State, which has won to get into the tournament. They had to win the ACC. They've won a lot of games in a row. Okay. So they're on a heater, but you spend a week cooling down. Talent prevails. I think sure. Purdue wins this one.
Okay.
UConn, Alabama. Alabama's a team that runs up and down. They're one of the best scoring teams in the country. You could argue they could win this game if the team they were playing was not UConn.
Yeah, UConn's just it. It's going to be UConn.
Better at everything.
Right.
Alabama's like the fourth best team offensively in the
country.
It's
the first time in their Final Four.
Correct.
So
yep.
They are now officially better than their football program.
For a year. Yes. Yeah.
As of right now. Right.
At least I know who their coach is, right?
Yeah.
UConn is, they've got depth. They won it last year. They've got a 7-footer who's great. They've got veteran guards and Danny Hurley, who is, comes from, like I said, coaching royalty. His dad could essentially run for governor of New Jersey. He's been sure. a high school coach there for a million years. His yep. brother is Bobby Hurley, played at Duke, which makes him one of my least favorites. But he's a great coach. So I'd like to see Purdue-UConn. And again, by the time we hit, that's the matchup that if you're rooting for the best-case scenario for men's college basketball.
Guy.
I mean, if you're a betting guy, Purdue-UConn's honestly a hard one to pick, right? If you're a betting guy, you'd like to see UConn-NC State so UConn can beat them by 100.
Right.
But UConn has beat everybody they've played in the last 6 weeks by about 20 points.
Yeah.
So I'd assume it's going to be UConn and Purdue, and then UConn beats Purdue. It's going to be great. It's a great weekend of basketball. For the record, this Friday is a great Friday of sports because you've got not only the women's Final Four back-to-back games, so that'll keep you up. Also, the Brewers are playing this weekend.
Who?
You.
Almost got you.
No,
it's
the Milwaukee Brewers. They're 4-1. I know we had homework this week to listen to a Brewers game. The home entrepreneur was Bob Uecker making on the call, and he called another game later in the week. They played the Twins. It was a reminder that last year I actually me and the family went to this game. At the Twins Stadium at Target Field. It's a great stadium.
Yep. I've not been there yet.
You should check it off the list. Yeah. It's easy walk from down. It's great. It's fantastic. It's better set up than American Family Ballpark or whatever it's called in Milwaukee. Yeah, it's just better. It's newer. It's newer by about 20 years.
Sure. So your Brewers?
4-1.
Oh, nice.
Their pitching staff consists of Freddy Peralta and some guys. It's exactly what it kind of looked like to start the year when we were listing guys that I had not heard of substantially play major league innings or be successful. They pitched okay. Those guys pitched okay. Okay enough where their bullpen consisting of a Brian Hudson and an Joe Pampas and Abner Uribe pitched really, really well, multiple innings in multiple games.
I'm looking at their schedule so far. It's just been the Mets and the Twins.
Correct. They swept the Mets, which was great to see. And they went to there two games. Yeah, and then they were two games, and they played against the Twins. 1-2, lost one. But yeah, they looked really, really good at 4-1. Freddy Peralta pitched 6 innings, 1 hitter, which was just a home run early in the game. Had a walk and 8 strikeouts. So he looks at least one start into the game, 1/30th or so into the looks great. Bryce Terang, Jackson Churio, who is going to be the guy we're just going to talk about all the time because he plays like Ken Griffey Jr. He's the best prospect the Brewers have ever had, best rated prospect. He played really well, got his first home run, had a game-winning run, scored, did really, really well. Bryce Terang is he's a slap hitter. Now, last year he was a 190 hitter who played really good defense. This year he's a slap hitter who is leading the league in stolen bases.
Nah.
And
seven games in or whatever.
Yeah, you know, yes, I mean, hey, okay, this is what on. I did last year. So yeah, I'm going to ride the wave. The fun one I want to talk about is Rhys Hoskins. He was a their substantial free agent pickup from the Phillies. He's a first baseman. Had ACL surgery last year. Missed the whole year.
Okay.
He's a power hitter. He had a home run.
Okay.
He also had a hard slide into the Mets second baseman that caused a bench-clearing kerfuffle.
Oh, I heard about that.
Sure. Yeah. It was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He called the Mets guy a crybaby, which wasn't fun to see.
Kerfuffle, you mean just they were just talking?
Well, no. They
isn't that the one?
He hard slid into him at second.
Right.
Guy got mad. Benches cleared. Right, both benches came out and squawked at each other.
That's it.
Next time at bat, Rhys Hoskins was up. Mets pitcher threw behind Rhys Hoskins, you know, trying to hit him or trying to let him know, hey, man, we don't do that stuff here. Benches came out again. They got mad.
Oh, they went again.
Manager got suspended. Pitcher got suspended. Rhys Hoskins played against the Mets his whole career.
Sure.
He played his first six years was against the Mets when he played for the Phillies. So,
sure.
Also, the guy McNeil that he slid into did the same thing to Rhys Hoskins like a year ago. And it was I like baseball guys like that. That's baseball there's always baseball guys, and that's a baseball guy. So
sure.
That'll be fun to watch all year whether he's good or not. Like I said, they've got the Mariners this weekend.
Okay.
Which is, if you're an old school Brewers fan, Seattle Pilots were the original team that turned into the Milwaukee Brewers.
Oh.
So yeah, they're playing kind of a old school throw it back weekend to start start their season.
Okay.
And then they travel to Cincinnati and to the Orioles.
Ooh.
Where I assume Corbin Burns will pitch against the Brewers and just light it up like he did in the opener to start the season.
Sure.
So that's it.
So you got any other sports?
I mean, there's always interesting things in Before we do the draft, promised us last week, and somehow we missed talking about the draft last week, which is a first, I think, in 52 weeks.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I just want to touch briefly on
baseball,
the hilarity that is the Oakland A's. For anybody, this is one of those that even if you're not a sports fan, this is interesting and awful.
Okay.
The owner of the Oakland A's, his name is John Fisher. I'm saying the name because if anybody wants to look him up and would like just be like grr. Yeah, he was born very, very wealthy. He's worth $3.2 billion.
Only?
He owns a few sports franchises. He owns a pro rodeo circuit and, you know, whatever carnival sideshow stuff that like that owns. But he's the owner of the A's. He's been a pretty not good owner since 2005. The A's have consistently spent in the bottom five on their stadium and on their players and on their re-signing and everything. They're moving in 3 years to... When the stadium is finally built, they're moving to Las Vegas.
When?
You know, it's whatever. There's billionaires yelling at cities for millions of dollars in tax, or whatever. It's so when that stadium gets built, Oakland, who's had a franchise there and won two World Series, been to four, won two World Series, has some Hall of Famers on that team. Some great, great players, is going to be moving from Oakland to Las Vegas. Which, by the way, baseball in Las Vegas in the summer sounds unpleasant. Just for the record.
Have you seen the renderings for that stadium, too?
Pretty fancy.
It looks like a Roman Coliseum kind of a thing.
Oh, good. That's what... I mean, that fits Vegas, right? Like, that fits the spectacle that is. But, I mean, I don't know... Hockey, we moved to Vegas recently. They were an expansion team, and they won a championship.
Right.
That's good. I could see the NBA moving there. The Las Vegas Raiders, they've moved from Oakland to Las Vegas. I don't think it's going to do well. But anyway, this guy, in lieu of the protests and the general unrest that the fans and the infrastructure around...
General protest.
Yeah, they don't...
Like, none of their fans.
Fans don't want you. The players have to play. You know, like they're getting paid there. But they're moving their team next year. They're picking up their ball and going to Sacramento.
Just
in the middle of the week. Just
do it.
Just load up the rider trucks the old Colts video.
But it's a Triple-A stadium. And it only seats, I think... Like 15 or 10,000.
That is more than the A's have had at
their
stadium in a very long time. So perhaps the city of Sacramento gets a little excited for a couple of years to see a pro baseball outfit at their stadium. Maybe, maybe. But it's very funny to me that a team worth that he's going to eventually sell at a very uptick of a profit is going to minor leagues. And if you're a guy who's only in the minor, the majors for a year or two, like most are, your major league baseball experience is going to be spent in Sacramento.
I mean, there's worse towns.
Oh, you're also going to spend most of the season at places, half the season that's not Sacramento. Right. So that's an upgrade.
It'd be one of the few times that a team going on road games would be like, oh, thank God.
Right, right. You know? Right. No, 100%. We get to go to a real stadium.
We're going
stadium.
To Florida. Oh, cool.
Like a real training staff yeah, right. at this real stadium. Yeah, this is real good. Also makes me – Oakland has just must not be – they're not ready for – they're not suitable for a professional sports franchise at this point. Right. Like they've lost the Raiders – multiple times. They've lost the Warriors, have moved
yep.
to the San Francisco area, and yep. now they're going to lose the A's. You know, that
it's something.
There's something. It's
in the water.
That was something, yes, something in the water, but I just thought that was remarkably awful by
yeah.
how do you drop the ball that many times as a – because if you're a state that well, wants a team, you make it happen. If right. you're a city that wants it, you make it happen.
Well, what's really the thing is why didn't Major League Baseball step in at some point, you know?
Correct. They did you that know? With the Expos / Nationals. Do you remember when
yep.
there was a time where the Montreal Expos were leaving Montreal? That's such a great and moving to become the Washington Nationals. But in the meantime, they played a season in Puerto Rico.
Hmm.
It was.
But I mean, it's just how do they not step in? Going, hey, you have the worst stadium of any sport.
Right.
You know,
how can we got collectively take up a GoFundMe amongst yeah. us they owners and build your stuff?
Yeah.
Get your because the owners have to spend time in those. Their teams have to spend time going to beat up Oakland Coliseum or wherever they
yeah.
play. And yeah, so yeah, no, it's yeah. just a. It'll be a documentary. It'll be behind the
30 for 30,
a behind the music kind of thing on why the A's turned to garbage. But you want to talk about the draft?
Sure. Why not? Because we got 3 weeks before the draft, and nobody knows anything really.
Finally, is it really only 3 weeks to the draft?
I think so.
Is it is it draft in Vegas this year?
No, it's Detroit.
It's in Lambeau next year. It's in Lambeau next year.
2025.
2025. Let's take a road trip.
Yeah, next year.
That's a short little. I've never been to Lambeau Field. I've not. I need to do it. And let's do it for the draft. And let's get excited about your Vikings drafting inevitably another quarterback. Probably, right?
25th April.
And the Packers we can get excited about the Packers drafting a linebacker from the Southeastern Conference. Like
another defensive player.
I don't really have much other than like to talk about the Packers, right? Like the Packers are going to draft a tackle. They're going to draft a cornerback, a safety. A linebacker.
What's their pick, 23?
23. They've got three picks amongst the top 55.
Look at
that. So they can get in that first round.
Minnesota has 23.
They're going to get a tackle early. They need a tackle early. They need a linebacker somewhere. Yep. They have a new system defensively. And they need a cornerback.
One of the guys, Daniel Jeremiah,
mm-hmm.
who's fairly, I mean,
yeah.
You know, he's
I can trust that.
Like, he's usually pretty accurate. He has Green Bay taking Amarius Mims.
I can roll with that. Yeah. Tackle. Big, huge tackle from Georgia, yep. right?
Yep.
All those picks worked for me. I have real good trust in the draftability of the Green Bay Packers.
Sure.
So I know that they have, in free agency, they covered the spot they needed to. In the draft, they'll get their tackle. They'll get their linebacker. They got enough picks to make it happen. What are your Minnesota Vikings going to do? Tell me about... Getting excited about
it. This is a big chess match now,
mm-hmm.
because everybody has not everybody, most everybody has Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jayden Daniels going 1, 2, 3.
Yes, in some
necessarily in some of that order,
in some form,
right.
And not being traded for those
right.
either. By the way, those teams like those three teams,
they're there.
The Bears, the Commanders, and the Patriots. Those guys need quarterbacks. They're going to take a quarterback.
Right. New England, I don't think, needs to take one. I mean, they're going to need one at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. So at the Minnesota has the pick 11 and 23. They're going to move up.
You think so? I mean, you have to, right? If you need a quarterback, you have to move up.
Of course,
up.
A report today showed that yesterday they went out and visited with Michael Penix.
Yeah, keep the whole. Well, you got to keep your options open, right? Yeah. Like, if you can't make that trade for four somebody throws in an extra second round pick or something.
You got to do the research. Make sure you cover all the bases so that Sam Darnold's not your completely full starting quarterback.
One of the best six quarterbacks in the draft has to be on your roster. Yeah, yeah, Sam Darnold, remember?
Yeah, Sam Darnold.
Get excited.
Yeah, yeah, he's going to be great. He'll rejuvenate.
Like Trey Lance. Yeah, no, 100%.
He's going to be the new Baker Mayfield.
Correct. Yeah. He was supposed to be the next Matt Leinart.
Anyway, so a lot of people, and I include, I think they're going to trade up to either the fourth pick with Arizona or number five with the Chargers.
Does 11 and 23 get you all the way to four?
No, next year's first will too, though.
No way. That's so much to give up.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
If you're going to, but I mean, I guess if you're the Vikings, you assume you're going to be closer to your floor next year is if you lose more than eight games next year, it's a bad season, right? Like,
yeah,
no matter who your starting quarterback is, what you've done this offseason means that you should win 10 games.
Yeah, with one quarterback, hopefully.
Yeah, with whoever it is, yeah.
Just one.
Not four. All right.
But, I mean, honestly.
But at least two.
Yeah, you always have to. So, I mean, I think they're going to check J.J. McCarthy at number four.
Okay.
His stock has been rising in the last couple of weeks, which is...
It's always interesting when a guy's stock in the draft gets better and they haven't played.
Done anything.
Nothing but looking at tape.
What it is
over and over.
And I mean, looking at tape, I mean...
Listening to his former head coach talk about how awesome he is.
You know, then hopefully maybe Minnesota trades with the Chargers. And
we were talking about that literally seconds ago.
I would love them to do a trade...
Your eyes lit up, right?
I'll take Justin Herbert any day of the week before any of these other guys.
So would you trade, if you're the Vikings, Justin Herbert for Justin Jefferson? The Chargers need a wide receiver. They got rid of their top two.
Right.
They have a top five pick. They can get their J.J. McCarthy if they'd like. So if you're – who is, by the way, John Harbaugh's former player. And the Minnesota Vikings get Justin Herbert, a guy that they has signed to a big giant contract.
It's easier to find wide receivers than it is your quarterback.
Is it easier to find an all-pro wide receiver?
No. No. But at three, they trade out those picks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it'll never happen.
These trades don't happen. But I love it. Is where I love to, because it makes, if you're talking about like just pure
takes.
X's and O's, man, it makes so much fun for the draft. I was looking at some real hard research by better researchers than me, which is most. Bill Barnwell, who writes for ESPN, was talking about first-round quarterbacks, and we've been talking about it. I was saying, do you really want the fifth-best quarterback in the draft, especially in the first round? And he took all the quarterbacks taken in the first round since 1970, which was hundreds.
Yeah.
A couple hundred. Broke them down into tiers of Hall of Famers, which are guys like Patrick Mahomes, which are guys like Peyton Manning, which are guys like that really good, which are guys like
Elway.
John Elway, Andrew Luck, Dan Marino fits into the very good. Then he broke down into pretty good and terrible.
Right.
Turns out you got about a 40% chance of drafting a bust, a Johnny Manziel, and you got about a 10% chance of drafting a Hall of Famer. There's a pretty big gap in the middle of that. The research showed that it didn't matter if it was the number one or the number 32, because the number 32 in Lamar Jackson has won an MVP.
Right.
The number one in Art Schlichter back in the day got suspended for gambling and was kicked out of the league. So, there's a big variation.
But the thing is, it's like, I kind of take that mentality that the Packers did.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like they were drafting a quarterback, not necessarily in the first round, obviously, but there was always you have to always be drafting a quarterback to find that one.
Yes.
You know, Green Bay is a great example because Matt Flynn.
Matt Flynn was a legitimate backup who turned into a
Aaron Brooks.
Aaron Brooks, yes, yeah.
Because he ended up starting.
Mark Brunell started his career with the Packers. That is correct.
But you got to keep on drafting them.
And developing them.
Developing them and finding out what you got and if you have anything at all.
Mm.
If you find something and you go, okay, is he better than what we got? Nope. Hey, somebody else want him. Showcase him, you know?
Yep.
But, yeah, doing a quarterback in the first, I mean, like the last 5 years, 4 years, has not been good odds.
Well, that was exactly that.
You know?
That same very lengthy talk was talking about it was easier – 10 years ago to find that guy than it is now. there's so much of an emphasis placed on quarterbacks now and drafting them over every other position. Running right. back used to be that guy you'd trade to the top of the draft for. Now it's always quarterback, no matter what.
But the thing is, though, is not typically if you're in that top five, let's say top five picks,
mm-hmm.
you're not good, typically.
Generally,
unless you do a
yes.
trade like yeah. Chicago, yeah. whatever. But so the situation, I firmly believe the situation that in which you go to so much impacts. I mean, let's say Patrick Mahomes goes to Chicago. Does he become what he is now?
Well, no, that's just it.
Right.
Does Mitchell Trubisky, if he would have last, if Mahomes is good Chicago, that means Mitchell Trubisky probably plays for the Chiefs. Is he an all pro?
No.
No, that's just it. Is
well, maybe. I mean, he could have. We don't know that
no,
one.
No. That's
we just
why,
know yeah. that Chicago, I mean, in that case, Chicago is just horrible producing quarterbacks and developing
something
them.
About playing in bad weather. Something about, you know, I don't know.
Just the team.
I'm not good for that
it's
many
like
years.
It's like the Jets.
But so which one of those guys amongst those top, because there's going to be probably, if you're looking at five, right? Like,
well,
so there is it. You can actually do the math then. There's going to be two of those guys are going to be a bust.
Right.
One of those guys is going to be a Hall of Famer, and two of them are going to be pretty good. Who's going to be the Hall of Famer out of those five then? Are you hoping it's J.J. McCarthy, right?
Like, yes.
That's the
J.J.
goal
McCarthy.
Here. That's the goal here is the Vikings are going to sit pat. They're going to draft J.J. McCarthy at four. They're going to make that trade. And J.J. McCarthy's just going to work out fantastic because he does play action well.
I mean, if you're
and
any quarterback right now on any team that you really would want to go to, not just because I'm a Viking fan,
sure.
but, I mean, you got J.J., you got T.J. Hockenson, you got Aaron Jones now running
yeah,
for
yeah.
you. You know, you've got Jordan Addison. I mean, you've got an O-line that actually is pretty decent. Why wouldn't you want to – I mean, if you want, you should go to Minnesota because you're set up the best for success.
Correct.
Chicago, Washington, and New England. Would you really want to go to either one of those three?
I mean, you're going to sit.
Maybe Chicago.
You're
going to
struggle in Washington. You're going to struggle at New England. You're going to struggle with Chicago. You should be able to step in there and have immediate success.
Right.
Like I said, the general manager.
Yeah. They just
for the Bears has done really well for most of the trades. They've taken big swings in trades
yep.
the last few years, and it's worked out nearly every time. Although the only reason this trade worked out, because they kept Justin Fields over C.J. Stroud, right? Like
right.
they could have had C.J. Stroud. They could have taken C.J. Stroud with – the only reason this worked out is because Carolina was so bad this year.
Right.
If Carolina would have been –
decent
7-9.
It would not. It'd be Washington's.
Ryan Poles would be fired. The trade yeah. that you kept because then you'd have Justin Fields
right.
and nothing to show for it. But this has worked out really well for him.
This is going to be. I think the last several years of drafts have been really just compelling.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, just exciting to watch because you go, all right, where's the chess piece? I love the back of the house where they show the video and the you know a year later.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, like. Monty Osifort, I just watched a video last night at Arizona.
Yes.
General manager.
Oh, yeah.
Making those deals, you know, last
oh,
year.
Oh, yeah, but to get to move up
yeah.
to.
Yeah. He's always, yeah. Hey, bud, what's going on? Yeah, yeah. Well, what
mm-hmm.
do you think? What do you got? I got 12, 13, you know.
And it was interesting because Arizona took a risk with that trade, and it didn't work out well for them because they were really good, right?
Right.
Like, oh, who is it that got traded to the Texans? Just
Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs,
you only got a minute left, by the way.
Oh, man, we're gonna cover that next week. This is, it really, really goes so fast here.
Yeah, I mean, we could definitely as time gets closer, we got 3 weeks, right? Three weeks.
It'll be two next. Yeah, next week we will cover yeah. who won the final four.
Yep.
We're gonna cover the fact that the Brewers won five games in a row since we last talked, and they're gonna be 9-1. So
yeah.
that we're gonna
okay.
be super excited
yeah,
about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, just like you were the Badger in basketball.
Yeah. And then I want to talk more because the draft is coming. I want to hear about who the Packers are going to hit. I want to hear why.
And by that time, next couple of weeks, we'll really know for Minnesota as well.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Let's write down some things and some stats. This has been one of the best shows. This is the best.
You write all the stuff down.
Keep your fingers on the dial doing and touching
okay.
the mouse there. That's nice. That's good work.
Okay. 15 seconds.
This has been fantastic. Thank you to WDRT for letting us open up the doors and do this in the morning. This is really a great way for me to start my weekend. Hope it's great for you guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful time. And talk to you soon.